C.C. Ruth and Company in Cornelius for notes for our little newspaper article. Well, Gus, let's get over here now and talk about C.C. Ruth and Company. In driving into your lot here, Gus, there was one point that I don't want to forget a little bit later to get to. Well, maybe let's do it right now. I notice you have actually two names here. You are the Purina Checkerboard Dealer, Purina Feeds, Purina Chows, excuse me. Purina would hit me with a noodle on that one. And then you have your other feeds.
This is right.
That's called the...
Our brand is Champion Brand.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to toss these two notes right in here, right at the front end of this thing, so we can kind of keep it straight. All right, now, let's jump back a good many years, Gus, and talk about C.C. Ruth and Company. Now, do you know, Gus, now we'll work ourselves up to Charlie Ruth, who you went to work for a good many years ago, but do you know when this building, this main building here, feed mill, was built by any chance, Gus?
No, sir, I don't know when it actually was built. The original plant that burnt 32 years ago must have been built even earlier than that, because it still had the square steel nails in it. This building doesn't have. So it's when they invented the round nails, well, that's the time when this building was built.
What we'll say is the older part of the C.C. Ruth and Company, because you got a beautiful new metal building at the present time, all erected and about ready to go here. Now, okay, we've gotten how long the building was here, roughly. Now let's move right up to Charlie Ruth. Now, what year was it that Charlie Ruth took over the managership or ownership of C.C. Ruth and Company?
He would have taken that over in 1930, probably 35, 36. Wait a minute, 34, 35.
I see. Now, we talked before, Gus, you knew the last name or first name of the fella that Charlie Ruth bought it from. Have you remembered who that fellow was?
No,
what was his first name?
I really don't know.
Mm-hmm. You came up with a name.
I thought the last name may have been Johnson, but
I'm not sure of that. Yeah. Well, I'm going to see if I can touch base with Mrs. Ruth. Bless her heart, she's still with us. And I will touch base with her and see if we can find out. She might have... And, yeah, all right. Now, let's see. Okay, let's move right up to where Gus Moeller came to work for Charlie Ruth. Now, just as a point of interest, Charlie, Gus, I'm getting my Charlie mixed up here. As a point of interest, Gus, what were you doing before you went into the feed business, so to speak?
Farming.
You were farming out here.
I farmed back in the Midwest and came out west, and I went to work for a farmer.
Oh, I see. What state did you call it home back there?
South Dakota.
South Dakota. There are a lot of them in Washington County, South Dakota, that's for sure. Now, did you farm the original Moeller homestead or anything out here?
Out here?
Mm-hmm.
No, there was no Moeller homestead out the west.
I see.
No, when I left there, I just left during the drought and depression years of... from, say, the 30s, early 30s, and came out here.
And those were some rough days.
To work.
Those were some rough days back there.
Well,
that's for sure.
They weren't all clover here either.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't any grain here at that time. When was that, Gus?
That was in 34 when I came out.
You came out in 34. Mm-hmm. And you went for work for a farmer for a while. And,
mm-hmm. Right.
And then, how'd you happen to wander over here to C.C. Ruth and Company?
Well, this farmer sold Mr. Ruth some hay that was being shipped back in the Midwest, I understood. And he'd come out, we'd loaded his load, and just talked, visited. And one day he says, "You wouldn't consider going to work in the feed store, would you?" Well, that broke the ice, and I
decided
to look into it. Yeah.
Sure, you bet.
Matter of fact, I really had originally made some preliminary arrangements to lease a farm and go to work on my own farm and then when this offer came along, why I thought, well, you know, after all, I don't have any money. Maybe this would be better than trying to get started farming. So I went to work.
What year was that, Gus?
That was 1934.
Wait a minute,
that was 36. That was in the fall of 36, summer, I should say, because I started working here in September of 36.
Was there a Mrs. Moore at that time?
My wife, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Were you married back in the Midwest?
No, we got married out here, although she was my girlfriend back there.
Oh, I see. So you kind of got love will triumph, won't it? All right. Okay. All right. So, of course, you just started in with the general duties. Now, let's talk about how Charlie Ruth, what he specialized in, Gus, and how he run the plant here when back in 1936, and I imagine for a good many years.
Well, actually, the operation at that time was pretty heavy to handling of grain, buying and selling of grain. We had a small cleaning setup originally, and he just had started to develop a feed business of his own brand. Other than that, we were selling other brands of feed.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, was this brand we mentioned early in the tape here, was that Charlie Ruth's brand?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I see. So he was the one originated.
He originated it.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, when did Checkerboard Square come into this scene here?
Well, we went along. We operated in my tenure here about 10 years when we had the big fire. And after the fire, we purchased a warehouse out at the Roy, in the Roy area.
That would be 46, wouldn't it?
That was 46, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
right.
Probably September 46.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out to the Roy area and set up cleaning equipment so that we could do that service in the area, continue to, and build a grain elevator. And I would say that was 30, that would be 46. We must have taken on the Purina line of feed in about 48, as I recall.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, of course, this was rebuilt. This building that we see out here, this other one burned, I believe you said.
The first one, the original building, was just on the block west of us.
Oh.
And that we never did rebuild. We moved into an existing building that we had, and of course we've added on to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now a block west, that would be down about where was now
where the pallet place is, the guy that builds the pallets.
Oh, my golly. All right, now you went to work here, and now of course as you said, you went into grinding, and I'd be interested now with Charlie Ruth. I suppose he was a feed man or a operator before he came here.
Well, he actually was a instructor at Oregon State at Corvallis.
You're a professor.
Then went to work for the Albers Carnation Albers Company as an outside field man, and then bought the plant.
Oh, yeah.
It was an Albers plant when he bought it.
He was one of the specialists down at the college.
Right. Uh-huh.
So he had good training. Now, that, of course, gosh, that would be back about when? That would be, well, 30, what was it, 36, you said? Or
it was, I would say that he took possession of the feed plant about 34, 35, somewhere in there.
So in the early 30s, he was down to Oregon State University.
Could Oregon State College. Well, I would presume so. I don't know how long that he worked for the Albers Company.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of brings us up now. And now, you've seen a lot of changes, Gus, in this feed business. As you mentioned, you sold primarily grain, the transaction of grain in the early days, and had a little feed mill. Now, I suppose this was selling to primarily to full-time agriculture, wouldn't it, Gus?
I would say so, yes.
Well, now, of course, we have gotten a new breed of cats have come into this thing, Gus, called weekend farmers or sundown farmers, I've heard them referred to. Actually, when did that start, would you say, Gus? The guy that's got a raising a...
Well, this thing I think you're referring to, we call it moonlight farming. I think it came into being probably right during or right after were the World War II days. Employment was available. The farm produce seems like it just stayed cheap. And most of the farmers that had sons to take over thought they would do better if they followed some other line of employment. And I think that this is then what happened. They were still farmers at heart, but they were working in machine shops and what have you because it was paying pretty well.
And that was the exit, we call it, from the farm, so to speak,
pretty
trend.
Much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of
well,
course.
Would you say, Gus, it was about that time, too, that the exit from the city, in the sense that...
Suburbaniters.
Suburbaniters, I guess mm-hmm. we were. That's a good word. Hey, we have quite a new word, Gus. Yeah, suburbaniters started coming into this picture.
I think that's about right. It's small... backlot operations, just a little bit of farming and little livestock. People that have always thought it'd be nice to have your own source of produce your own meat and your own eggs and things like that. We had experienced quite a lot of this type of.
So that kind of dovetailed in here after World War II, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And of course,
it also changed the operations like your dairies into the large existing dairies that we have today. 200 head herds were never heard of before, say, World War II. And the moonlight farming, they didn't want cows because this would tie them up for their vacation time. They'd get rid of the cows, but the guys that were dairying, they buy them up and just increase their herds. So now the milk that's consumed in the Portland metropolitan area is produced on less dairy farms, but much larger ones.
Well, now, I have worked with Purina back in my early radio days, Gus, and of course, Purina dovetailed very well into these sundown farmers in that they sack complete ration for just about any type of livestock from a guinea hen on up.
Right? No, this is true. Yeah, any type of customer we have, anywhere from monkey chow, fish, trout chow, laboratory chow, if there's anything that needs food, why, they make one for them.
Including humans.
Well, that's the other department of it. We don't get involved in that.
Yeah,
that's
right.
In the grocery sides of it.
And speaking of animals, Gus, when did the horse explosion take place in Washington? You know, it's a known fact, Gus. We have more horses in Washington County today than we had at the turn of the century.
Well, when I came to Oregon back in 1934, I settled about 3 or 4 miles south of town, and I think there were three tractors in that whole area. All the rest of the work was being done with horses. And it didn't take too long, of course, though. The tractor came in and replaced the horses. We have a few farmers out here that still have draft horses.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And but mostly the horses we have are the your riding type horses, and I would say that this came along pretty much with the suburban development.
Yeah.
They all had a little place, and the youngsters were fascinated by horses, and it just caught on.
You know, I would make a wager that selling horse feed is a goodly business for C.C. Roos & Company, and has been for quite a while.
Well, yes, they're animals. They need nutrition, and they have their problems with them, and we try to help them with the feeding problems. And consequently, yes, it we don't have their, what would you call them? You can't call them a herd of horses, I guess, but we don't have the numbers of horses in any group that we do have livestock in certain groups. But it's
a number of people who roll up and throw in a couple of sacks of horse feed, which is a goodly number, I'll bet.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh, it is.
Well, before we move on to the next generation that's going to take over here at C.C. Roos & Company, I imagine over the years you had some rather unusual requests, Gus. People come in to the old feed store and they want, can you recall a couple of kind of unusual requests that people have wanted?
I just off.
Kind of threw that one at you cold there, Gus.
I would have to give that a little thought as to, what was it you called them?
Down farmers?
Unusual request. There's been a lot of them. I guess I would have to call unusual. It came about the time when we went from the large farm operator to the back lotter. They'd read all the magazines and books and ads, and they want to do things right. And of course, they'd come in and want to know if they could get a 200 or 300 pound mix, the same as what the big operators are buying in carload lots. But and most of those are formulas probably that you just couldn't buy anywhere today. Mm-hmm. It's
in the early days, Gus, I remember the old feed store when I was a kid. You could buy eggs. Did you ever have that kind of a situation?
No, we've never sold produce such as eggs or milk or meat or any of that.
Some of them used to do that.
I'm sure that they probably did. Be more of a farm market.
We
never did. No.
Mm-hmm. Now, so which makes me think you're talking about people coming in with requests. You were kind of a county agent, so to speak. You had to have one of that coat on too, didn't you, Gus?
Well, I think you could say that. Although we referred a lot of them to the county agents.
Sure.
But we don't claim to have the answers to all of these problems, and the best help we can give is listening to what our customers have to say. If they've had problems and we discuss them, why somebody comes along with the same problem, well, so-and-so did this and it worked for them. In that respect, yes, we can help to a great extent, but we're not veterinaries and we're not county agents.
Don't hang your shingle out for either one of them. Is that
no,
it?
No, we don't.
Well, no, all right. Let's move up now, Gus. I haven't, and I can't figure arithmetic fast enough. I'd have to do a little subtraction of how many years. Now, you're going to hang up your shingle or your feed sack this coming Saturday. I've heard rumors of that. Is anything to that, Gus?
Well, this coming Saturday is what?
Well, let's see. I've got my date right on here on my way. It'll be the 23rd day of September.
Well, I heard it was the 30th, but...
Wait a minute. Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess you're right. I'm getting you off the job a little, a week early here. On the 30th, you're going to...
That's what I heard, yes.
All right. Now,
although really, I happen to have had my... if retirement goes by your birthday, why, it's already up a month.
Oh, I see. All right, fine. Now, your boy and his charming wife are going, are taking over the reins from you here, aren't they?
Well, I would say that Jerry's probably done that for the last year already, more or less.
Yeah. And
he's
you got a
he's had free rein that to do the purchasing and the pricing policies and so forth. It's been up to Jerry for the last year already, so he should be well qualified to continue in that capacity.
He's had a good teacher, Gus. Let's give credit where it's due here, doggone it. Now, something new is added. Well, I shouldn't say exactly new, because you did have a little tack, as I ran horse tack, as
right.
I remember, Gus. But Jerry and is going into this in quite a large scale.
Well, it seems like the community, there's a trend towards it in the community, and we hope to keep on serving the community with whatever it is they need, and I guess you'd have to even consider that in an agricultural line.
Well, yes, it definitely would be.
Maybe we have to blend it a little bit. However, when you consider the saddles, we know that they go with horses. Like your Western togs, they say there's more people buy that than what have horses.
I think that'd be a true statement. You betcha.
We certainly have the people in the area. When it takes you 15 minutes to get across the highway, a two-lane highway, there's a lot of cars going by.
You better believe it.
Spending some money someplace, they must need some of the things we have.
Now, that's for sure. Now, also in the same vein here, I guess, of course, you're not... So you're going to have actually... This is not a new department, but you're expanding this department, the tack department, but you're going to still have the feed department as you have had for many years.
I'm sure that we will continue to sell feed, and of course there's been a lot of changes in feeds and feeding and whatever the demand in the area is, why we'll sure try to service it.
You bet. Well, now, on this tape, I wanted to work a couple of other little points here. We'll review your son and his wife and your grandsons and grandchildren, all right, by name here, so I can, when I get on the typewriter and start working on this. So we have, let's take it down the line here. You have your son and daughter-in-law.
Jerry and Janie.
Jerry and Janie.
Their offspring is David, Deanne, and Derek.
David is the older boy.
Right.
And Diane is the...
In-between girl.
In-between
David
girl.
David 14, Deanne 13, and Derek is 9.
And that Derek's a going machine. I think you'll agree with me, Grandpa, right?
Yeah, he's always busy.
He's quite a guy. All right. I wanted to get a little portrait for just a few moments, Gus. I'm holding you here. On Charlie Ruth. Now, it was my... privilege to know Charlie for a short time before he passed away, And he was, as I remember him, I kind of see him mentally. He was a large man, a heavy-built, strong, heavy-built man. And he loved life. What I mean, he was always optimistic, and he was a great guy to be around. Don't you agree with me?
Yes, I would. Right.
He always had a big smile, and he was just a grand guy to be around. Now, he must have liked kids, because I'm going to... Do you remember the year that he brought in this the CC Award at the county fair? Let's talk about that a moment.
Yeah.
What year would that have been? Oh, boy. That's digging back a ways. He initiated that. And incidentally, I'm sure I'm right, it's the oldest continuous rotating award at the Washington County Fair.
These were trophies for the, he started with three dairy-type animals. It was the Jersey Club, the Guernsey, and the Holstein. Since then was added the Brown Swiss. And that was not a C.C. Ruth and Company endeavor. This was a Charlie Ruth.
Himself. He and Mrs. Ruth.
And, of course, since his death, why, C.C. Ruth and Company has perpetuated it up to this point.
Nice. You can't, would you have any idea, Gus, about what year that would have been? I suppose I can call out the Ag office.
Yes.
Maybe I can.
I can mention some of the people that won some of the first trophies. And they're grandparents now.
Yeah, been a while back.
Yes, it is. Bert Sano, I think, was probably one of the first to win that Jersey trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And I very seldom see them, but they all have the names on them.
Is Ayrshire in this thing at all?
Ayrshire is in it now, too, yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned
I think probably it was Ayrshire instead of Brown Swiss. Yeah. I'm not real sure.
I better check that out, make sure.
I'm not real sure how many.
Well, I was just trying to get it back into the 40s or back into the 50s, Gus.
What I did, actually, a number of years ago, I turned it over to the county agent to see to it that they were presented and so forth annually at the county fair.
And they're still being...
They still are.
Still going strong on that. Mm-hmm. I'll have to do a little research, Gus, on... What year that was initiated? Well, of course, it'd have to go back, gosh, in the 40s someplace, I would think.
Well, probably right, yeah.
Yeah, it would. Mm-hmm. Well, Gus, I want to thank you for letting me visit with you here on this on the C.C. Ruth and Company. Now, you would be a pioneer in Washington County. We still have, I think we count them up, Gus, we've got four or five feed stores still operating in the county. Didn't we count them up there the other day?
Well, it seems like you consider Washington County, there aren't very many left.
Yeah, this is, I wonder if
I mean, as complete feed stores that are actually milling and what have you. Now, you have some just retail stores that don't mill, but they're still... considered a feed outlet. You have, starting from Portland this way, Beaverton would be the nearest one, that's Hollins.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come on over and you've got one in Aloha that sells some feed. Next one would be Hillsboro. And you have three different feed stores in Hillsboro, but only one of them that mills feed. And we're the only other one.
Now let's see
here, between here and Yam Hill, there isn't any.
Now how about, let's see, am I thinking of North Plains or Banks?
Banks has a feed outlet, not a milling. They don't mill. West Union, that's just a feed outlet anymore. They don't mill. So it's.
Oh, my gosh, you've narrowed it down to, would you be the only one, you and one more are the only one that's left.
Milling. In
Milling.
In the area. Mm-hmm. Right.
Gus, one thank you for for chatting with me here on this. If I have any notes, any more questions, I'll get on the phone and give you a buzz, Gus. But I think we've covered, we've tried to cover the back history of C.C. Ruth and Company. Well, thank you, Gus. And what are you going to do now that you're going to retire?
Oh, retire.
Retire. You going fishing or are you going to...
Well, I'm not, I guess I'd have to admit I've just never been...